Hey, everybody. Yeah, welcome to episode 3 of Yinzers. If you're new to the podcast, we are an all-women-run Steelers podcast. We're here to encourage other women that their voices matter, that they have things to say, and that those things are important, and that their opinions matter. And we just want a platform for us to talk about our own opinions and thoughts about the team that we love. So I'm Jordan, and with me are my co-hosts Sam and Morgan. How's everybody doing?
Doing good. It's been a crazy day.
So crazy.
Just lots of news. News cycle's been wild in the sports world, in Steeler Nation, I guess I should say.
Yeah, us specifically. Not so much anywhere else, but yeah, we've been wilding out today. And good stuff though.
Yeah, it's been awesome. Mm-hmm. All good news. Well, mostly good news. I think I would say 90% of people are very happy with the news today. So, and we are so happy because we have the most amazing guest joining us this week. She is the mother of one of my personal favorite Steelers. I know Jordan and Sam, I can speak for them when I say that as well. He is a leader, a dominant player, someone we are happy to have locked in for the remainder of his career. Cam Hayward's mother, Charlotte Hayward. Charlotte, thank you so much for joining us. We are honored.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I am just proud of you guys and what you're doing. So thank you for having me on the show.
Absolutely. Anytime.
What have you been up to these days? How's the off season treating you?
Busy off season. Doing a lot of real estate right now. Things we've had planned for the foundation have been put on hold due to the pandemic, but still having meetings and doing things behind the scenes with some organizations that we support. So, but it's been a busy off season, trying to get Cam back to life. Kind of off the grid right now.
Yeah.
I don't blame you guys at all. Mm-hmm. I would stay off grid for as long as possible after a season like that.
Yeah. So I wouldn't want to even acknowledge other people. I would just want to be in a hole, decompress. Ooh.
The heartbreak is real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's talk about some Steelers stuff because, like we said earlier, we have so much news in Steeler Nation today. Biggest story of the day, Ben Roethlisberger signed to a contract. I think it's 1 year. I think it is a 2021 deal for $14 million. Meaning essentially that he took a $5 million pay cut to give us much needed cap relief to sign some of these free agents that we really want to keep. It's awesome to see Ben's willingness to do what he has to do to help the team because he believes in this team, because he believes that they can go out and be contenders next year. I know I personally believe that Ben gives us the best chance at the quarterback position to do that. So it's awesome to see him, you know, take this massive pay cut. The cap hits reduced from $41 million now to $24 million. That's huge.
Yeah, and that means we're officially cap compliant because as of, 12 hours ago today, we weren't. So that's a huge jump, and we have yet to cut anyone. So the fact that we have 20 free agents set to hit the market in less than 3 weeks is a little less overwhelming now that we aren't bleeding money in the cap.
Right. We save virtually $17 million with that new deal. Versus if we had let Ben walk, we would have saved $19 million. That's a $2 million difference. I think that is totally worth it not to enter next year not knowing who we're going to have taking snaps. Mm-hmm. So, Sam, Charlotte, how do y'all feel about this?
I'm happy. Very. It shows he's a leader. You know, that's what leaders do. And it wasn't your typical restructuring of a contract. I mean, he took a pay cut. So that's what leaders do and makes your team believe in you.
You're exactly right.
100%. Yeah, that has to be huge what it communicates to the guys in the locker room that he's willing to do that just to be there with them to play for a championship. It's awesome.
I was just going to say the message that sends to the organization, to his teammates, to fans and supporters. It's, I'm here to do this. I'm willing to do what I said I was going to do and follow up on my word. And I just think it's freaking awesome. I love that it happened before we know what the salary cap ceiling is. So it's not like that was a determining factor for him. He looked at it and said, listen, let's get it done. They got it done. And now we can move on to addressing some of these free agents. I just think it's
100%. I think
sleep too, well tonight.
I think it shows so much too, in that we all pretty much know this is Ben's last season, and how many players are willing to take a pay cut knowing it's their last season?
Yeah.
Not many. And so I think that speaks volumes to how much, you know, his teammates do mean to him and how much he does want to keep them. So.
And he added the voidable years in the contract as well. And so that's part of the reason we were able to cut so much of that cap hit. Creative maneuvering by Kevin Colbert and Ben Roethlisberger's team. I am very, very thankful for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What else happened?
Moore had a little bit to do with that as well, because he's the cap, you know.
Guru.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely.
Every team needs one of those, because it feels like every other year teams are struggling with the cap.
Mm-hmm. And the cap is such a foreign language to a lot of people. People don't understand like an amortized bonus and how a signing bonus works and things like that. And so it's great to be able to trust that we have someone in the organization who knows how to figure that stuff out, because as fans, we're just like, do whatever you need to do.
Right.
Yeah.
The other big thing that happened this week was CBS Sports came out and they said that they think the Steelers are still very in on re-signing Bud Dupree. And looking at that, last year his franchise tag was a little over $15 million. This year it would be over $18 million, even with the ACL injury. We've just seen, you know, Bud become such a dominant player. So that's another thing that we're looking at. I personally don't see the Steelers still signing him at that price tag, just given what their cap situation is. I'd love to get your guys' feedback, starting with Charlotte on that.
I think, first, I feel really bad what happened to Bud. He has really come into his own. He's always been a great athlete, but he was just playing so well, out of his mind. That was really heartbreaking. I think because the NFL is a business, you know, they take the emotions out of it. And I think any team where you're coming off of a major injury like that is going to take a risk. I don't know if he can get what he could have gotten in the free market, but I see possibly maybe, you know, a 1-year deal. And we'll see what it is and see how his knee holds up. But I definitely don't want to let him go.
I know.
That's like, we don't either.
Tough one. Yeah. So that just tugs at your heart.
It's so easy because, or it's so hard because for, and Charlotte's right, the NFL is a business. We all, you know, we have to remind ourselves of that because we get attached to these players, especially players like Bud, who, like Charlotte said, has always been an exceptional athlete, but in recent years has become such a dominant force on that team, on the defensive side of the ball opposite TJ. Like, they are, it's just incredible to have seen what they've been able to do, and our hearts broke for him. And when he tore his ACL, that was devastation. And not just because it meant that it would be harder for us to win, because we love Bud and he's grown with us, and we've seen him literally become such a force. And to lose him would be tough, but I hope he gets paid. I hope that man goes and makes his money, because he deserves it. He's worked for it. And if it's not with us, like, I will wish him the best of luck. And I will always be a fan. So,
And honestly, I think either way he kind of wins out, because if another team isn't willing to pay him, the Steelers will pay him, and he'll stay, and that would be ideal. But I do think that, like, if he leaves, obviously it's because he's going to make more money somewhere else. And honestly, good for him. And where I really, really struggle with this whole thing is that, what if that's just always going to kind of be in the back of my brain with that entire situation, because what if the game against the Ravens doesn't get postponed? What if they play it on Thanksgiving? They don't have that extended time off. What if he doesn't get hurt because they don't have to do all of this weird postponement footwork nonsense to because the Ravens couldn't get their crap together? What if? Like,
it will kill you to live in that mindset. Mm-hmm. It will literally kill you to live in the what if mindset, because you could say that about Devin Bush. You could say that when Cam got briefly hurt this year. I mean, we could say it about everyone, and you're right. If they hadn't, if the NFL hadn't maneuvered to make things work for the Ravens, then of course you wonder, but then maybe it sets it up so that someone pays him a ton even of money more that we can't match. And I don't know, maybe it makes it so that we can hold on to him. And we have a ton of cap space next year.
Great. Oh, that would be great. Yeah. If he could just hold off one more year, we can pay you it. It's just an IOU. Like, just hold on a little bit longer. And everything in the NFL is so up in the air right now because of the way that the pandemic has affected all of the financial sides of the business. And there was some unnamed NFL GM, it was super vague, that John Clayton tweeted about, saying that, you know, maybe it wasn't him. I can't remember who specifically tweeted this, but there's going to be a cut massacre across the league. And then John Clayton speculated that Joe Hayden and Vince Williams would be cap casualties for the Steelers, which, even before Joe Hayden responded to it and said that he predicted that they won't cut him, which was stellar. <best. laughs> I love that quipping on social media. It's just great. But the Steelers' secondary has consistently been their biggest struggle. Their front seven is like locked down right now. Even with the potential departure of Bud Dupree, they're solid because they're led by Cam and TJ Watt, and Stephon Tuitt will be coming back. But the secondary, oh my goodness, they've always struggled to draft cornerbacks and safeties consistently well, like they have at, let's say, the wide receiver position. They have a really great core right now. Joe Hayden, Steven Nelson, Minkah Fitzpatrick. Like, they're not, I just can't see them cutting Joe Hayden, who's not only a fantastic player, but another one of those locker room presences that is just a tremendous leader. Like, you don't just say, you're not worth it, you're gone, because he is worth it. And they know that. And they're going to look at what they did with Ben. Look at what they did with Cam. They restructured his contract. Like, they're willing to work with guys, and guys seem to be willing to work with them because they're playing for the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's a big deal. Like, it's a huge history driven franchise, like, it, very successful. But I want to see what all of you, where you are kind of with the, do you really think that this is going to be as bad as everybody is saying and implying it's going to be with all of the cuts? And is it really going to be a massacre? Go ahead, Morgan.
Sure. I think the media will always play stuff up like this just for clicks. We see it happen all the time. I mean, for John Clayton to tweet, I speculate, or to say live on air, I speculate Vince Williams, Joe Hayden will be cap casualties. And then to have, it's like the JJ Watt thing when he signed with the Cardinals and said, source me, because the media has been speculating like crazy where he was going to go, reading into his tweets, things like that. I think that a cut massacre, there will be a lot of cuts, period. That's the bottom line. And that's because this is the bed that has been made for the NFL because of COVID and because of reasons outside of anyone's control. I don't think, like, cut massacre is, come on, every off season, there are a lot of cuts. People have to make space. The Steelers are in perpetual salary cap hell. So it happens. I'm not particularly worried about a ton of guys being cut from our team. I could see there are teams like the Saints and the Cowboys who are deep in it. So yeah, across the board, it's probably going to be extensive. I predict maybe a few on the Steelers, and it'll hurt no matter what.
Yeah.
But Joe Hayden won't be one of them. So.
Yeah.
Charlotte, what do you
think? Yeah.
I think our O-line needs to get rebuilt. I mean, that we struggled.
We struggled.
Heavily. We struggled.
That's putting it nicely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We struggled. And that affected Ben in a lot of ways. So I think we have some concerns that we need to address. There are going to be some cuts. There's going to be cuts, of course, that we don't like. But a cut massacre, I think that was just a headline.
Exactly.
Yeah.
100%. I think massacre, that's crazy, especially for our team now, like being what happened today with restructuring the contracts. But again, you do look at a team like the Saints who are $70 million over the cap. Like,
oh my Lord.
I would be sick if I was a Saints fan. Same, I think Eagles were $40 million. Like,
bad.
Yeah. So if any teams that I feel for, it's over there. Yeah.
Just hearing those numbers, it gives me the sweats.
It does.
I know. I have a stomach ache.
Makes you, your palms sweaty.
I know.
Well, yeah, I think, yeah, that just seems like a little sensationalistic, and the Steelers aren't anywhere close to that level of dramatic. It's not that bad. But overall, in the news, good stuff for the Steelers. They got Ben back for one more year. He has an opportunity to see what this team can really do. And now they're under the cap. It's great. And that's
good news week in Pittsburgh.
Great news week for Pittsburgh. So we can move into this next segment just kind of breathing easy, because we're not $70 million over the cap. But Charlotte, we just kind of wanted to talk with you a little bit more specifically about your experience as not only the mother of a current NFL player, but having other relationships with former NFL players as well. So being the mom of a team captain, Cam is a huge presence in that locker room and on that line and on the field. He is incredible, and he's such a leader. How connected are you to the rest of the guys on the team as a result of that? And what do your relationships with all of his teammates look like?
I'm not really connected to a lot of the guys. I see them when they come to our events, the Hayward House events. They really support our Cam's birthday bash. We were due to have our first football inaugural camp. There were a lot of guys who were going to come. They've come to our gala, every year. But I see them, I see them after games. I talk to their parents. I know a lot of their parents. But Cam has a really close knit, bond with his D-line. Mm. They do something every week together in preparation for the game outside of, being at work. But I'm not really connected with all of them. Allie's connected with the wives, so I know some of the wives, but I don't really have a real connection with a lot of the guys on the team. Yeah. Cam kind of leaves work at work.
That's probably best for him, honestly, to have that kind of compartmentalization where you can just come home and be home.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It is so important, because especially in a year like we had last year, I imagine that it gets all consuming. The pressure was on. It was a intense season. And a lot of people were talking, wouldn't stop talking about the Steelers, even if they were good, even if they were bad, wouldn't stop talking about it. So I imagine being able to separate work from social, home, family is huge. And I also imagine that kind of comes with veteran experience. It's got to be hard in the beginning to kind of figure out that dance. My dog agrees.
So much of the media, you know, wants to create headlines, but they don't know what's going on behind the scenes. And, you know, you hear about certain injuries, but some of these guys are playing with injuries the whole year.
Wow.
And, you know, they didn't have a bye week this year.
Right.
And so, you know, playing three games within, was it 10, 11 game, 11 days?
That's insane,
you know, on their bodies. And to hear how everybody just, you know, wanted to speak so badly of these guys that are putting their hearts out there was just disheartening. It really was. But Cam's a leader. I'm proud of him because he will take that interview at the end of a game, no matter the loss, you know. But he really, I mean, he takes it like he puts it on him. You know, he doesn't try to deflect. He really is like, I should have done better. I should have led better. But I always just say, you're one member of the team. I admire you for being a leader, but you're one member. But, you know, true leaders, that's what they do. That's what they did today. So
you're exactly right. Right. Charlotte, when did Cam start playing football? At what age? I imagine it was early because y'all are a football family. But when did he start playing football? Did he love it? And when did you guys kind of see that this was going to be his thing?
Cam started playing football when he was 11. So it was a little bit later than most people. He played basketball before that, but he was awful.
Really?
Like, they had a draft and he was like one of the last picks.
No.
That's my heart.
And I think it's because he was like huge, but he couldn't walk straight. And he was clumsy. And like, we really, you know, we have a lot of athletes in the family, but we didn't preach that you were going to become an athlete. And Cameron liked to draw. He had really bad asthma, which he still has. But he fell everywhere. He was just I felt bad because when he got drafted to a team. Bobby Hebert was one of the coaches, and he was his dad's quarterback with the Saints and at the Falcons. So we've known the Hebert forever. And Bobby was like, I'm going to put Cam on my team. And, you know, and then he blossomed because he did not like looking like what he looked like. So he worked hard. He worked hard.
I feel like I need to see these basketball pictures.
I know. Oh, my gosh.
He was awesome. I mean, he couldn't face the basket, but he could rebound. So his shooting skills, and he'll try to say something else, but he loved basketball. That was his passion. But in football, I would say, and I didn't let him play football in ninth grade in high school. He had done really well eighth grade. He was really coming into his own, but he switched schools. And he attended a private school that I felt that he needed to get used to the academics of the school. So they weren't really happy when the football coach sees this 6'5", about 250, 260 at that time, freshmen come in. And they were like, so when are you coming out for the team? And they knew he played football. And he was like, my mom said I couldn't play. And the coach called me and I said, no, he cannot play this year. He has to get used to the rigors of your academics at that school. And then they gave Cameron a uniform the next couple days and told him to come to practice. And Cameron called me like, mom, they have me going to practice. I said, I'll be right there.
That's bold. Wow.
Wow.
That is insane.
Yeah. So they really want him to play. And I said, sorry, you can't play. So he didn't play football his freshman year. And then his sophomore year, I did let him play football. And he was all region something, and still didn't think that, you know, he was like football college, like college scholarship material. Mm-hmm. Just, he was good. His junior year, he had a really good year. And that summer, that's when the interest really started to come. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's insane. That's so funny that he didn't even play his freshman year. And the coaches are like, come on, we got you a uniform. Don't tell your mom, like, what's happening?
I'm like, you weren't going to find out about it.
Right. Like, every Friday night.
Yeah.
Every Friday night, he's like, yeah, I'm going to study group. Like, no.
I guess they thought if they got him on the practice field, I would change my mind or something. But wasn't going to happen. Didn't happen.
Like Jordan said, that is a bold.
Yeah.
Bold move.
Yeah.
Right? Against your mom? Like that.
I know.
No. And I had already talked to the coach. No.
Right.
No.
No one pisses off someone's mom. Like, what are you doing?
The audacity.
Yeah.
That could have ruined his sophomore chances too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Charlotte, so I know you said you don't follow, like, or not, you don't follow, but you're not super close with like Cam's teammates. Like, he leaves that at work, work is work, and his personal life is his personal life. But as far as the NFL, do you follow the league activity or the Steelers activity pretty closely?
I do. I do. Okay. Yeah. I'm a sports buff. So basketball, football. Yeah. Baseball sometimes, Penguins, hockey. So.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Yeah. Who's your basketball team?
I like the San Antonio Spurs. I'm a Spurs fan. Okay. All my boys are Bron. Everybody loves LeBron. Mm-hmm. But so wherever Bron goes, that's their team. I like LeBron too, but I like the San Antonio Spurs. Yeah.
They're easy to like. They're consistently, maybe not in recent years, but consistently dominant.
Yeah.
It's an easy team to like. Popovich is easy to like.
He is. I love him as a coach. I love Pop.
Agreed. And I'm a Mavs fan, so it hurts to admit that, but you can't. No one dislikes Greg Popovich. Hey.
Yeah.
Stop it. He just wants to be a part of it. Just wants to be a part of it.
He does. So this was a pretty big year in terms of Cam's deal getting done, and we knew in the last off season that that was going to be a priority for the team, and that was kind of the big focus. Was we knew that his contract was about to be up, and we knew that he was going to be worth a lot, and we knew that we wanted to keep him here, and we weren't sure what was going to happen because he's getting to the point where he's hitting the back half of his career. So it was like, we want him to be here. We want him to retire a Steeler. And we just weren't, there was a period of time where we weren't sure if that was going to happen. But what was your perspective on the progress of the team working with him to get that deal done? And did you have any doubts that they would pay him what he's worth?
It was pretty interesting. Initially, they had said, you know, we're going to start working on it in the off season, and it wasn't happening as quickly as we expected. And I think, you know, when you hear the social media saying, well, he's too old, are we really going to keep him? And everybody's speculating. I think that adds fuel to the fire for a player or a player's family, because you're hearing all of these things that people are saying. And through it all, from being in this world for such a long time, this NFL kind of world, I always remind Cameron that it's a business. Always know it's a business. Don't take it personal. So them even delaying it, don't take that personal. There's a business side to this that they have to deal with. But in that, never sell yourself short, because it's a short window that you have. And I think there was an angle maybe that they know you know, we're from Pittsburgh. Cameron was born in Pittsburgh. You know, his roots are there. Mm. We have the foundation to see if he would stay for a certain amount. And, you know, he was like, I'm out. Like, and you have to do what's best for your family.
Right.
You know, the Steelers are a great organization. But I think he had to realize his worth. Mm-hmm. And I think the Steelers, you know, you always in negotiations, I negotiate all the time in real estate, but you have to start at a certain number and come to an agreement. Mm-hmm. But nobody's going to throw out a great number in the beginning.
Right.
You know, you've got to work from top to bottom. And so I think it came, we were surprised because things had got real quiet and we were actually taking our family pictures. So we were all together and Cameron was looking really stressed. And I was like, hello, like we're taking pictures, you need to smile, like forget about what's going on. And when we got done, he got a phone call, come in, let's get this done, let's sign, let's get it over with. And it was like, yes, because we were all there. And with COVID, I'm not in Pittsburgh a lot. So it was a good time. All his siblings were there and we had a good time in celebrating that he's going to retire as Steeler.
So awesome.
It gives me chills listening to that because
it really does.
It's so tough as a fan. I know a lot of fans struggle with this. I don't think that the three of us necessarily do, because when you get to the point where you realize that the NFL truly is a business, and just like teams have to take care of their financial situation, a player needs to take care of his financial situation, his family, set his family up to have the most that they can have to, you know, once football's over. And football does not last forever. And so a lot of people will look at players who want the biggest contract and don't think they're getting paid their worth as like, that's a bad thing. And I will never for the life of me ever understand that. Because you can't tell me that at your job, you would not want to make the absolute most money that you could possibly make because you know your worth. And I think it's upsetting to see fans call players selfish or say that they don't care about the team, they only care about themselves when they're chasing big contracts, because you would do the same thing. Everyone wants to make it so that they can take care of their families and, you know, be comfortable when football's over, period. And a team would do the exact same thing if their situation were reversed. So I think from the fan standpoint, none of us thought the Steelers would ever let Cam go. I think that they were just playing a game of, you know, it's a negotiation for a reason. You know, you lowball someone so that you don't have to overpay them, see what they're willing to settle for. But we are happy that he got paid and happy that he's staying.
I can still remember that headline coming across and I was just like, oh my gosh, finally.
Like relief.
It was so much relief because it was so quiet for a while. And that's literally, it drives you crazy with the Steelers because that's what they do. Same thing with Ben, just crickets. And then you're just, oh, by the way, we'd got a deal done today. Like, thank you.
And you see the media speculation, like, oh, we saw it recently with Ben. Ben and the Steelers are playing a game of chicken. I was like, no, this is ridiculous. Just because we're not seeing things come out publicly doesn't mean anything, especially for an organization like the Steelers that likes to keep things under wraps.
Yeah, the media just loves to go bananas whenever there's silence, though. They can't live in that space. So they're just creating whatever stories
they totally take advantage
of it. Get away with.
It's clickbait.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just imagine playing in New York.
I can't.
Oh my word. Oh my word.
I cannot imagine it.
That market.
Brutal.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Nope.
No relief. Luca. Okay. Do you want to ask the next question?
Oh, your dog's name is Luca? Yeah. Dallas Maps. Okay.
He is 3.5. So I got him like the year before Luca came here. I guess it was just meant to be, really. I guess that's what it was. Charlotte, being the wife of an NFL player, did that prepare you for being the mother of an NFL player at all? And how is that different?
I think it did. I learned a lot. I was young and traveling or moving to different cities. Craig played for 5 teams. You learn a lot about the business. I didn't know. I mean, I've been a Steelers fan since I was a little girl, but I didn't know how political the game is, the politics. But you learn that pretty quickly when you become the mate of a player, or even, you know, a family member. So having that background, I think, also helped when Cam was a junior in college and people wanted him to come out. And I said, it's a real world. Like, stay a student, a young man, as long as you can. And he agreed. When we talked about it, he was like, that can come later. Even when people say, well, you know, you might get hurt, you know, but you get an insurance policy to protect yourself. Once you get in the NFL, it's every man for himself, really. You know, you're a team, but you're competing every day to get on that field. And it's a big responsibility. It's not as glamorous as it looks. You're going to play injured. You know, there's no real sick days unless you are like deathly ill. It's hard on your body. So I think it did help, because we were able to talk about that, and he's been in certain situations. You know, when he came into the league, you know, Coach LeBeau, I love him, but, you know, he really didn't play. He didn't play his rookies. You know, he wanted you to really learn his system. Cameron was not fun. Like, those first 2 years, it was hard. He wanted to be on that field, you know, other than just little, you know, he was fighting all the time in training camp. I was like, calm down. But he was frustrated and he wanted to show them, I can do this, right. You know, but everything happened for a reason. But I think it has helped that I know some of what goes on, and, you know, I was able to talk to him about that.
It is really shocking when you see how political professional sports are. It kind of rocks your world. My boyfriend plays baseball. Baseball is extremely political too. And It just kind of changes your perspective as a fan of the sport. But you going in and having that knowledge obviously really set him up for more success, I'm sure, because he wasn't going in blind. You know, he had you guys.
He wasn't. Right?
He had you guys in your experience. And I think that was probably huge for him, adapting to a professional league from college. I think that was massive.
And growing up, like, in our house, like, it really wasn't a household based around sports. Football was treated as a job, not a lifestyle. So he treats it the same way. So I think that's been important for him, you know, and he's just a real humble, just everyday kind of guy, you know.
Yeah, you can see that it translates when he talks, you know. He really is, like, he is such a leader, but he is so humble about it. And I think that's, you know, probably why he is so respected when he speaks.
Not just in Pittsburgh, but across the league.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think that was, you know, that played a huge part in Kevin and the Rooneys wanting to keep Cam here. Off the field, you know, he's a big part of the community and a great representative of the team. So, and he's a leader inside that locker room. You know, I know there's been tough conversations and he has them, you know, he's not always the favorite guy with some of these players, but then they say, you know, they respect him.
And the ability to say the hard stuff shows his leadership, you know, acumen, right? Because it's very easy to avoid those conversations. It's very easy to, like you said, shoulder a lot of the blame, not even when it's not his, and then sit there in the locker room and act like it's all on you and you're not having those hard conversations. But I think that is massively beneficial for a captain mm-hmm. to have the ability to have those tough conversations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah, because I mean, he doesn't have to, right? I mean, he could just look the other way and say, "Oh, it's not my problem. It's not my personal life. It's not this or that." But that just goes to show how much Cam does care too, and he's been there, and he is a leader, and he's been in this league for a long time. So, for him to have any kind of conversation like that with any of the other players should show them, you know, we need to sit down, we need to listen.
Mm-hmm. And they've had, you know, they've gone through a lot of stuff these past couple of years.
Yeah,
stuff with AB and. Le'Veon and, mm-hmm. you know, just we've had some interesting situations. We really have.
That's a very good way to put it.
interesting situations.
Yeah, entanglements. We've had some entanglements.
Yeah, entanglements.
We made it through, though.
I feel like we are on, we're solidly on the other side, but. You know, last year it was TikTok, so you never know. It's something always.
Yeah, always something.
Juju.
Love Juju.
I love Juju. Likewise. If he's not extended,
the riot.
I'm going to have a hard time. I am going to have to be real quiet on social media for a couple of days. Speaking of social media, Charlotte, you, I would have to say, are one of the most prominent, well-respected people that are on Twitter. How have your interactions been on the app with Steelers fans? I'm curious.
It's been, for the most part, really positive. There are a lot of jerks out there. A lot of jerks, but I can say my children pull me back because in the beginning I had to learn not to respond. People who hide, you know, behind their phone and they just type out whatever they want to say and feel, you know, I just let them do it. If I see some comments, every once in a while I'll say something. Every once in a while. Like that reporter.
You could just send it to one of us. We'll say it. We will say it without a doubt. No problem.
You know, because they've attacked all of my kids, you know. So I've learned to just let it go. And, you know, I know each one of them are trying their hardest and doing what they want to do and giving it their all. So that's all that matters. You know, but a lot of people on Twitter are just really supportive. I met great people on there. I'm more Twitter dominant, as you guys all know. Facebook kind of just takes me into another world, so it distracts me. But I love it though. It's a nice way to meet people and just see the fan base that's like worldwide with the Steelers, and it's exciting. It's fun. You know,
see what it is fun, and it is wild to like. It's difficult when you're off social media to really fully grasp how widespread the Steeler Nation extends. But oh my goodness, everywhere, every continent, every single state, there are Steeler fans scattered throughout the world, and seeing. All of the different location markers of people who are tweeting about the Steelers and passionately tweeting about the Steelers. It's not just like casual fanship. Right. The people who are a part of Steelers Twitter are all in on the Steelers. And I really have yet to see anything else quite like that on any type of social media platform. It's just that people on Steelers Twitter are another breed, and the worst of them are the worst of anybody on social media, but the best of them are just so solid, and they're all the types of people that you would want to meet up with if it ever worked out that way. It's just so cool. Right.
When we were on the Steeler cruise last year, we had a good time. Met people from all over the world. That was a lot of fun.
That's really so cool.
That was so bad.
Yeah, maybe someday, 2022.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Oh, God. Cross our fingers. But Charlotte, we just want to kind of open up the floor to you because the Hayward House, as you've mentioned throughout the episode, that's a big part of what you and Cam and your family all focus on. So I just want to kind of give you the floor, talk about that, talk about if there's anything else that you want to kind of dig into. Feel free, plug it away.
Okay. Well, the Hayward House is our foundation that we started in 2015. It's dear to our heart because it, you know, the foundation is based on impacting children of the city of Pittsburgh and the surrounding areas. We do some things here in Atlanta as well, but it's just trying to really make an impact because, I mean, Pittsburgh's going through a real transition. And there are some areas that the kids are really struggling. And now with COVID going on, a lot of kids are having a lot of mental health challenges, not being in school and not being with, you know, their peers. So we are working with like the Boys and Girls Club and trying to develop some programs that have a mental health, you know, component to the programs. But we have our Craig's Closet program, which we are really proud of because we have young men come in and get clothing for job interviews, graduations, any type of formal event that they have to dress formally for. That's been put on hold due to the pandemic because we can't have visitors come in. And so that's disappointing, but we've brought a lot of smiles and confidence to these young men in prior years, and we're going to keep doing that. Our work with Blessings in a Backpack, feeding kids on Fridays, giving them food to go home with over the weekends, has been huge for us as well. So we have several programs, and we're just, you know, we're determined that as much as long as we're alive, we're going to be doing something in the city of Pittsburgh. It's our duty. So that's a little bit about the Hayward House there.
That's amazing. I mean, to be as, yeah, as broad with your reach, and dip into so many different aspects of helping kids and young adults, and setting them up for success or just being there to support them with mental health is huge. Mental health is so overlooked. And I think we're finally, you know, kind of addressing the stigma attached to it. And I think that, your involvement, the Hayward House involvement in trying to help in that arena is massive. And that kind of just sets everything else up for success as well, because if we're right mentally and we're healthy mentally, then we're ready to address the other difficult things that are going to happen. I love that.
I agree.
Incredible.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. It's always been the elephant in the room that nobody wanted to address. And unfortunately, the pandemic has brought it to light. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as we all have a responsibility, and I'm sure we all know someone that's going through something or a hard time. You know, I know kids in school that, you know, I have, he's like my godson who's graduating this year from high school, and he doesn't get to have those milestones, you know, the prom, mm-hmm, and things like that. Hopefully there'll be a graduation, but it's rough. You know, they've worked hard. So, and that's just COVID related, but I mean, there's a lot of kids going through a lot of other issues, that affect their mental health.
And mental health, I'm a huge advocate for that. You'll see it a lot on my Twitter. I have it actually in my bio, Break the Stigma. I suffer from depression, which people, I openly talk about that because it's not easy to talk about. 100%. It's not easy to put your stuff out there. It opens you up to people ridiculing you, even in this day and age. And so I'm so grateful that you guys do have that platform and are able to reach those children who maybe wouldn't have access to, you know, someone to talk to.
Yeah. And it's just, it affects so many more people than I think anyone realizes. And the moment you do start talking about it, that's the moment it starts to get little less hopeless. Yeah, because
you're not alone.
Exactly. It really is an insidious thing whenever, because it does try to keep you within yourself, and if you can just know that you're not alone and that somebody else is looking out for you and somebody else has dealt with the same thing, it kind of starts to give you a little bit of freedom from it, because it that power that it has over you in the silence is kind of broken, which is, I love that you're doing that. And it has been a really rough year for everyone because it's been so different. And it honestly, for me, felt like we were taking such big strides, like Morgan said, in breaking that down, the different types of assumptions and things that were around mental health. But then whenever we got stuck in lockdown, it felt like, oh my goodness, I really hope that we don't lose sight of mental health in the quest to protect our physical health, because they work so hand in hand. If we're mentally not good, we will physically not be good either. And it's a beautiful thing. And the fact that you are so invested in the community where you're from and where CAM plays, that is something special too, because to have your heart be in a city and have your service be in the same city is, it's rare to see that in people. So I want to thank you for all of the work that you're doing with all of that. Is there a specific place that people can go if they want to donate or help out or even just follow along with what you guys are doing?
Yeah. I mean, they can go to our website, thehaywardhouse.org. That's the easiest. There's the CameronHaywardFoundation.org as well, but the Hayward House is a little shorter. And it goes to the same page, but yes, they can go to our website. We also have our social media platforms, the Hayward House, 97 Hayward House on Twitter, on Instagram, and on Facebook. And right now we're not being able to take volunteers because we're not having programs, you know, but as soon as we can, we are going to ask for as many volunteers, because we get a lot of emails, people wanting to volunteer. I just can't use them right now.
Right.
But, there will be a time, because this is not going to last forever.
Right.
And I just want to say it's a blessing that never thought any of my kids would play professional sports, let alone Cameron playing where I'm from and for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So this has been a dream come true and a blessing that when you have something like that happen, you have to give back no matter what. We give back anyways. I mean, that's just how they've been raised. But to be here in Pittsburgh, like, there's nothing better than that.
Yeah.
We would love to volunteer whenever you guys are taking volunteers again. Please let us know. And we'll pump that out as well for you guys. So love to be part of it.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah, because it's important to it's whenever things are kind of on like a hiatus in that way, it's easy to forget about it. So whenever you do get to that point, we can put it out there just to remind people. But yeah, getting involved is awesome, and we would love the opportunity. And we're just so thankful that you took the time to come on here and talk with us and share your opinions on the Steelers and the news, and also talk about what life is like as the wife of an NFL player, as a mom of an NFL player. We are just very grateful. So thank you so much for coming on and joining us tonight.
Thank you guys for having me. Just real proud of you three for starting this. And anytime, call me. I'm here.
Wonderful. We'll take you up on that.
Thanks, guys. Good luck. And let's have a great season next year.
Thank you, Charlotte.
Thank you, Charlotte.
Hopefully.
Charlotte, do you want to drop what your Twitter and Instagram handle are? Or I know you said you're predominantly on Twitter, but that way people can follow you if they weren't already following you, which they should have been.
Okay. On Twitter, I am at Char Hayward, And on Instagram, which I don't use much, but I'm Lady Sports Crazy. And it's Lady Sports, SportsCrazy. Okay. And my Facebook is just Char Hayward, I think. But I don't really go on there. So.
Facebook alone, yeah. I just recently reactivated my Facebook for the Yenzers, and I told Justin, I was like, do I have to do this? He's like, for the betterment of Yenzers, you do. I was like, okay, I will.
Yeah, for Yenzers.
I really don't go on there for personal use. I just go for the Yenzers. But I'm Sam. You can follow me on Twitter at Samantha James with an underscore. You can follow Yenzers at Yenzers, and Instagram is at Yenzers Official. Jordan?
I am at Fidge Newton, F-I-D-G-E, Newton, like the cookie, on Twitter and Instagram.
Every time you say that, that, like the cookie, it just makes my day. I love it. I'm at Tokyo Exmo on Twitter. And be sure to subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts. This will be on every podcast platform tomorrow. And check us out live every single week, on Wednesdays or Thursdays on Twitter, YouTube, or, where else? Facebook. Our favorite. Yeah. And we'll see you guys next week. Thank you so much for tuning in and have a good one. Here we go.